We read sacred scripture tonight from Proverbs 31. Proverbs chapter 31. We'll begin reading at verse 10. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Read God's word that far. And the text that we consider for our sermon tonight is verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Proverbs 31 is a familiar passage to us. We know this portion of God's Word is that which addresses the virtuous woman, the excellent wife, literally the woman of strength. What we read here is a full and a complete description the God-fearing woman, particularly in her callings as wife and mother. And that the purpose of God here is to give such a full and complete picture of the virtuous woman is evident from the structure of these verses. It does not come out clearly in our translation, but in the original it's plain that this section is an acrostic. Form of poetry is where each line begins with a different letter in the Hebrew alphabet going in order from the beginning to the end. The 22 verses here correspond to the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. First verse in the section, beginning with the first letter, second verse, beginning with the second letter, and so on to the end. Purpose of the Spirit with that structure is to indicate that a full treatment is given to a certain subject. Every angle is examined. We would say in English that we're taking a subject and we're covering it from beginning to its end, from A to Z, with nothing left out in between. What we have here is a full, beautiful description of the virtuous woman. And what especially we want to note tonight is her relationship to her husband. What's described here is not a woman generally, but the woman in her relationship to her husband and her children and her callings as wife and mother. Throughout Proverbs 31, we read not only of this woman, but also of her husband, of the good that she does to her husband. And knowing that, her husband rises up and praises her, and following that example, her children also praise her. Specifically, what we note tonight is the relationship of trust between them. That this husband trusts wholly and completely his wife, who is a virtuous woman. There's important application here for our marriages, not just to wives and mothers, but to husbands as well, to both spouses in our marriage relationships. In the past, in this series on strengthening our marriages, we've considered the permanency of marriage in several sermons. We've recently considered the respective callings of husbands and wives. Now here, and God willing, in following sermons, we're going to identify certain important emphases, certain important mutual callings, certain things that ought to characterize our marriages before God. One of those important points of emphasis is the trust that ought to be present in our relationships one with another. Trust is essential to marriage. It's almost impossible to overemphasize the importance of marital trust. You certainly can have a marriage where there is no trust, where husband and wife coexist with each other, though they don't trust one another. But that marriage is not what it ought to be in the absence of trust. The absence of trust results in such harm and such misery in our marriages. The will of God for our marriages is that our relationship one to another be characterized by mutual trust. Where there is such trust in marriage, there is joy, there's freedom, there's security, there's the enjoyment of deep intimacy in that one flesh union. Where there's trust in marriage, our marriages witness to, point to, the relationship between Christ and His church. With that in mind, call your attention to this passage tonight under the theme, "The Heart Doth Safely Trust." First of all, let's consider the nature of marital trust. Secondly, the building of marital trust. And then, thirdly, the purpose of marital trust. The text that we consider tonight is addressing the important subject of trust. It speaks of the husband trusting in his virtuous wife. Verse 11, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her." What is trust? Trust in our earthly relationship is, first of all, a confidence that we have in that other person, a certain confidence in their person, in their character, and in their abilities. That trust in that other person is also a reliance upon that person. There's a confidence in them and who they are. It's also a reliance, a dependence upon them. We place ourselves into their care. We entrust ourselves to them, confident that they'll do us good. That confidence, that reliance and dependence upon the other corresponds to the knowledge we have of who they are. We know that other person to be trustworthy. We know them to be reliable, dependable, consistent, faithful, and corresponding to the knowledge that we have of that other person as being trustworthy, being dependable, we trust in them, we rely upon them, depend upon them, commit ourselves to their care. If we truly trust in that other person, there's a total absence of fear and doubt and worry with respect to them. The passage says here not only that the husband trusts in his wife, it says in his heart he trusts in her. The very heart and the source of the whole of his life, that which is the wellspring of the whole of his existence, with his heart, he truly, heartily trusts in his wife, which means that there's an absence of fear and doubt and worry where she is concerned. He's not burdened with suspicions about her. He doesn't carry around all kinds of misgivings about her and how she'll treat him as his wife. That idea comes out from the text as well. The word in the original for trust carries with it the idea of being safe and being careless or carefree. That's why when translators of the King James Version came to this word, they didn't translate it simply as trust, but that one word they translated with two English words, safely trust. It's a beautiful translation. It perfectly captures the sense of that word. Where there is that trust, there's safety. There's an absence of fear and concern, a certain carelessness, carefree spirit where that other one is concerned. Wholly trusting in that other person, I'm not beset by suspicion and doubt. There's a safety that we enjoy in our relationship one to another. Within the safety of that trusting relationship, there's an absence of care, of fear and worry. We can live with a certain sense of being carefree where that other one is concerned. Think in terms of some other earthly relationships as a way of illustrating this point before we apply it to marriage. Think about the relationship between an employer and an employee. Corresponding to the boss's knowledge of his employee is a certain trust in that one. The boss knows the abilities of that employee, has a certain confidence in that employee's abilities, and is use of them in the specific task that he's given. There's a certain reliance and a dependence upon him. so that the boss is not constantly having to look over the shoulder of that one. With respect to his work, there's a certain freedom of fear and worry and suspicion. Or to use a different illustration, think of the relationship between parents and a babysitter. Corresponding to the knowledge that they have of her, the parents trust in her. They have confidence in her and her ability to care for their children while they're away. They depend upon her, rely upon her, place their children safely under her care, and they can leave the home with a certain attitude of being carefree, a certain security and freedom that they feel, knowing that the babysitter will care for their children. Trust is important in any earthly relationship. But trust is especially important in the closest earthly relationship. Trust is essential in our marriages. Where there is a healthy marriage relationship, there is mutual trust. In a healthy marriage relationship, the husband wholly trusts in his wife. He has confidence in her. He relies upon her, depends upon her, places himself into her care with the confidence that she'll do him good. There's no fears and doubts and suspicions that plague him. He's not constantly having to observe her and look over her shoulder because of certain worries that he has about her. He's not fearful that she may love someone else and be unfaithful to him. He's not suspicious that she really doesn't care about him but is only seeking herself. He does not have misgivings when she speaks that she's manipulating him or she's lying to him. He trusts in her. In a healthy marriage relationship, the wife trusts in her husband. She has the same confidence in him. She relies and depends upon him in a healthy way. She places herself into his care with confidence. She does not lie awake at night with a pit in her stomach, with anxious thoughts running through her mind so that she can't sleep because of her husband, because she's filled with suspicion about him. She does not live with doubts about his faithfulness to her. She's not worried about her safety in his presence. She's confident in him when he leaves the home in the morning and goes off to work. She trusts her husband. Can we say that about our marriages? The question was put to us, do you trust your husband? Do you trust your wife? What answer would we give? The answer that we ought to give without any hesitation, absolutely. I trust him. I trust her. In fact, so do we trust one another that it's something that we almost don't even think about. There's such freedom, there's such security in our marriage that the idea of trust is something that we hardly even have to think about. It's there. We're secure and our trust one for another. That's the will of God for our marriages. That's what ought to be the case in all of the marriages between believing husbands and wives, that there is that mutual trust. And what a blessing that is. How important for our marriages is that mutual trust. Think of the opposite. Think of the harm. Think of the misery and the damage that's done in a marriage relationship where there is not trust. It can happen in the marriages of believers as well. That trust is broken. Trust often takes a long time to be built up. It's something that can be lost in a moment. Trust is like a fine piece of china. It's at times delicate, it's fragile, it can easily be broken and shattered. And when it's shattered, it's difficult, not impossible, but difficult to put the pieces back together again. In a relationship where trust has been broken, there's misery. What misery when husband and wife and this closest of earthly relationships, this closest of friendships, cannot trust the other anymore. What misery and harm when the husband has a mind that's filled with suspicion and doubt with respect to the faithfulness of his wife. What misery and what harm when the wife is filled with worry and with fear with respect to her husband. There is not the joy, the freedom, the security that there ought to be in that relationship. It serves to underscore the importance and the blessedness of trust in marriage. It's taught positively in the text. The end of verse 11, where it says, "So that he shall have no need of spoil the heart of her husband, safely trusts in her." And what's the result? He has no need of spoil. The word spoil there refers to the riches that might be found on a merchant ship or the spoils of war taken by a conquering army. And the idea is that the husband who has such a virtuous wife does not need to go out of the home and search for spoils and riches. He does not need to go off to try and find those things because he has that already. His treasure is found in his home and in his marriage. His wife is his treasure and his greatest joy and pleasure. So does his heart trust in her. There's such confidence, there's such freedom from care, there's such safety there. He can be the poorest man without any spoil, without any riches, and yet he's joyful. Because he has the joy of a relationship of trust with a virtuous woman. The text is teaching there the blessedness in our marriages of mutual trust, of the joy, the freedom, the security that we know in our relationship. Trust one with another as husband and wife. When we enter into marriage, There's a certain level of trust that we have one with another, trust that's been built through the years of dating one another. But the danger is that when we're married, when the time of dating is past with all of the thought and concern about our relationship, that now when we're in marriage, we become lazy. It's easy for us to try and coast by in our marriage without conscious thought about our relationship. And in particular, without much thought given to the strengthening, the building up, and the protecting of marital trust. There is, and there ought to be, when we're married, a level of trust one in another. And from day one in our marriage until the Lord separates us by death, we ought to continue to work at building up mutual trust one for another. Passage teaches that when we see the relationship between these two verses, between verse 11 and verse 12. Verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her." Verse 12, "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." The relationship between those two verses is this: the wife does good to her husband all the days of her life. And the result of that is that the trust that's there in their relationship is further strengthened, is further built up. We continue to strengthen, to build up, to protect the trust in our marriages by doing good one to another and not evil all the days of our life. And that's what's described in the rest of Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 goes on to describe all of the multitude of ways in which the virtuous woman does good to her husband. All of the ways in which she cares for him, cares for the home and for the family, supports him, encourages him. So much so that he stands as a well-respected elder in the gates. She does good to him, and doing good to him, the trust that they enjoy is strengthened and it's protected. And that's true in our marriages as well. We build up mutual trust in marriage. We strengthen that trust, protect that trust by doing good one to another. Constantly seeking the good of our spouse by showing ourselves to be trustworthy. We said before that our confidence and reliance upon the other corresponds to our knowledge of that other person. They're being reliable, dependable, consistent, faithful. In marriage, we must show ourselves to be such. Show ourselves by doing good to our spouse that we are trustworthy, that we're reliable, dependable, consistent, and faithful. Where husband and wife both have this mindset, where the husband has the mind to always do good to his wife, and where the wife has the mind always to do good to her husband, there's mutual trust grows and is strengthened there. To be specific and practical, there are certain ways that especially we do good to our spouse and thus promote trust in our marriages. In the first place, one of the important ways in which we do good to our spouse, build trust in our marriage, is by always speaking the truth. By communicating rightly, carefully, and truthfully with our spouse, without lying or without manipulation. Where there is lying in marriage, where there's a use of one's words to try and manipulate the other spouse to get something for ourselves, trust cannot be built. Lying and manipulation serves only to erode trust in the other. If one's spouse is caught in a bold-faced lie, it erodes our confidence in them. How do we know that they're not always lying to us? Trust is built where husband and wife speak the truth in love one to another. Secondly, we do good to our spouse, build trust in our marriage by faithfulness. By faithfulness to our word, to our commitments, to our promises one to another. We are a husband and a wife who takes our word to the other seriously. That's certainly true in what we would consider to be a major way. That's true with respect to sexual faithfulness. There's nothing like sexual unfaithfulness to shatter the trust in a marriage. Commitment to one another sexually in the intimacy of marriage certainly builds and promotes trust. Not only in those seemingly major ways, in the seemingly smaller ways, it's important as well to be people of our word. If it's the case that we're constantly making promises to our spouse. Yes, I promise I'll take care of that project, and I promise I'll do this. And we're constantly making and then breaking those promises. We're eroding the trust in our marriage. It might be in those small ways, but if constantly, habitually, in these small ways, we show ourselves to be unfaithful, we erode our spouse's confidence in us. If they cannot trust us in the small things, can they trust us in the big things? Thirdly, we do good to our spouse, build trust in our marriages by a commitment to openness and transparency. Where we seek in marriage to live our own private life, a life that isn't within the sight of or the knowledge of our spouse, we erode trust. Trust is built in marriage where husband and wife live openly one with another. Truly share their life with the other. There's not all these secrets that they're keeping in this private life that's out of the view of the other. A trustworthy person is someone who is accountable. Someone that not only is willing to submit to accountability, but someone who seeks that out, who wants that. Hold me accountable. I want to live openly. I want to live transparently. Therefore, we seek out the accountability of our spouse. It means that no husband has a phone that his wife either doesn't know about or cannot access at any moment that she wants to. It means a husband doesn't have a laptop that his wife isn't able to look upon and to keep her husband accountable. There's openness, there's honesty, there's transparency, which builds trust. In the fourth place, we do good to our spouse. We build trust in one another by showing ourselves committed to the well-being of the other. When we manifest a spirit of selfishness, where everything serves us and it seems as if we're only looking out for our own well-being and not that of our spouse, we erode our spouse's trust in us. How can they trust that we care about them? How can they trust that we have their best interests at heart? How can they rest in our care confidently if we're always showing ourselves selfish? If life is about me, and it's plain as day that what comes first is not my spouse, but it's myself. Virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 throughout shows her life isn't centered on herself. It's other-oriented. She is seeking the good, first of all, of her husband and her family. And the heart of her husband safely trusts in her, knowing she seeks his good. And then fifth, we do good to our spouse and build trust in our marriages by humility. And specifically, the humility of confessing our sins one to another. Trust is not found only in a perfect relationship. If that were the case, there would be no trust in any of our marriages because we are all sinners who sin against our spouse. And if trust was found only in a perfect relationship, there wouldn't be trust in our marriages. Trust is built and it's promoted when both husband and wife live humbly one with another. In the humility of knowing that I'm a sinner. In the humility of being willing to receive the correction and the rebuke of my spouse toward me. To have a humble attitude of approachability so that my spouse knows she can always come to me with a word of correction. And our response will not be one of self-justification and excuse-making and turning the blame around on the other. Humility, where we acknowledge our sins, confess them, and seek forgiveness at the foot of the cross, where there is displayed such humility, humble acknowledgement of our sins, a confession of those sins, trust is built and promoted. Are we building such trust in our marriages? Are we doing good to our spouse and not evil all the days of our lives? Trust is built where husband and wife are committed to doing good one to another. It can happen. In our marriages, trust is broken. And there needs to be the restoring of trust. As we said earlier, trust is a fragile thing. It's something that can be built up carefully for years and in a moment be gone. Trust is broken when we do harm to our spouse. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil, literally not harm. And what's implied there is that if she is doing evil to him, if she's harming their relationship by her sins, she's not promoting his trust in her. Trust is broken in a marriage where there is, we would consider to be, major sins and unfaithfulness. When a husband is ensnared, for example, in pornography, and is found out by his wife in that sin, her trust in him is shattered. Where a wife is found unfaithful, engaged in what the world might call an affair, her husband, when he finds her out in that sin, his trust in her is shattered. When we're caught in lies one to another, our trust in the other is broken. Our trust in one another is broken when there are what we would call those major sins, but our trust in one another is broken as well by habitual unfaithfulness one toward another. In, again, what seems to us to be the small and almost insignificant things of life, where there's a habitual laziness and a habitual selfishness. It's like the slow drip from a leaky faucet. Drip, 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 day after day, year after year, that slowly erodes the trust in their relationship, where there are broken promises and a failure to follow through on our word and commitment. Trust in our marriages is eroded. By doing harm, doing evil one to another, trust is not promoted. Now that's not to say that trust being broken, it cannot be built up again. By the grace of God, it can. For the one who has broken trust, that one must, by the grace of God, humbly confess those sins, be willing to seek help in turning and changing from that wicked way, and by the grace of God, show oneself again to be trustworthy and dependable, to show that the grace of God has wrought a real change and turning in one's life from the way of sin. The one who's broken trust must learn patience. Where trust has been broken, it cannot be restored to what it was before in just a moment. Sometimes the one who's committed such a sin does even more harm to the relationship because he sinfully demands that his spouse trust him again. I said that I was sorry. Now don't you trust me anymore? Trust me. I'm your spouse. Trust isn't built in a moment. And forgiveness does not mean immediately that full trust where it was before is immediately restored. That trust must be built up again from the ground, brick by brick, day by day. The one who's been sinned against must be committed to working at the relationship as well. Danger for such a one that's been sinned against is to give up. I've been so hurt by the unfaithfulness of my spouse that we give up on the relationship and are content perhaps to live as husband and wife yet under the same roof, but really as two separate individuals who deal with one another in a kind of cold distance from each other. Danger is for the one who's been sinned against to say, I'll never trust again. My trust has been broken, and I won't trust again. And that person builds up, not trust, but builds up these walls of apparent self-protection behind which they can hide. and shield themselves from the closeness of a relationship because of a fear of being hurt again. We might think that understandable, but it's not proper in marriage. The one who's been sinned against must be ready to forgive the penitent spouse. And in forgiving their spouse, be willing to work at the relationship in building trust again. A willingness to be vulnerable, to assume the risk that's there in a relationship, the risk of trusting another sinner. By the grace of God, trust in such a hurt relationship can blossom and grow again. And in the end, under the blessing of God, the marriage be stronger than it ever was before. God's grace is powerful to heal broken marriages, to bring repentance to sinners in marriage, and to restore a right, healthy, trusting relationship. What's the purpose of God now? What's the purpose of God in His will that our marriages be characterized by such trust? The purpose is not found explicitly here in the text, but it's understood, and clearly understood. The purpose of God for our marriages being a relationship of trust is that our marriages reflect the relationship between Christ and His church, that our marriages exemplify, model, and witness to the relationship between Christ and His church. I say that's clearly implied here because that is the teaching of God with respect to marriage throughout His Word. All of the teaching of God with respect to marriage is grounded there in that truth. The truth of Ephesians 5, verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's very infrequent that when the Bible speaks of trust, it speaks of it in terms of earthly relationships. Most often when the Bible speaks of trust, it speaks of our trust in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just one example, Psalm 37, verses 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. In the heavenly relationship that's ours with Jesus Christ, God by His grace works in us trust in Christ. We trust our bridegroom. We have supreme confidence in Him. We rely upon Him. We depend upon Him wholly and entirely for all that we are and all that we need. We're safe in His arms and in His care for us. There's no room and no place for doubt and for fear with respect to our relationship to Christ. There's no suspicions about Christ. We don't harbor any misgivings about Him and His care of us. There's safety, absolute safety, freedom, and joy being the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. That trust corresponds to our knowledge of Him. That idea comes from Lord's Day 7 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 7 describes faith And it gives the two elements of active living faith, which is a certain knowledge of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and an assured confidence or trust in Christ. Faith is knowledge and confidence, or knowledge and trust. And our trust in Christ corresponds to the knowledge that we've been given of Him. We know Christ to be perfectly trustworthy. Christ is supremely reliable, dependable, consistent. He is perfectly faithful always to us. He's never unfaithful. He never lies. He never speaks to us in a sinful, manipulative way. He's faithful to His Word to us. He keeps His promises to us, which are yea and amen. He shares His life with us. Shares with us in His Word His deepest plans and secrets with respect to our salvation and glory. He does good to us. If ever we could say that one does good to another, that's true of Christ. He does good to us. He came not to seek self, but He came for our good, to serve us, to give Himself, to give His life under the wrath of God at the cross for us, for our everlasting good. He does good to us and not evil. Our bridegroom is faithful always. Our trust in Him is solidly grounded. And if ever there's doubt or there's fear or there's suspicion, it's on account of our sinfulness and the weakness of our own faith. Because Jesus Christ is perfectly trustworthy, bridegroom to us, His church. By the grace of God, we trust in Him. We dwell in the joy, freedom, security of His love and faithfulness to us. Trust in Him. Those who are single, who don't know and enjoy the intimate relationship of trust in marriage, trust in Christ. There is that which is higher and greater than our earthly marriages, which is our union to Jesus Christ and the confidence and security of a husband who loves us and is faithful to us. Those who are married, more than you trust in your own spouse, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are in marriages where there is wonderful trust, those who are in marriages that are hurting, marriages where there is a breakdown of trust, in the midst of that pain and that sorrow, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. We are blessed. We are so richly blessed by God and His grace. We belong to Christ. We know joy. We know freedom. We know security. We know His love and faithfulness to us, unending, all the days of our life and on into everlasting life. We look forward in hope to the bliss, the perfect bliss, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Let us pray. Father who art in heaven, thankful for the gospel, good news. By thy grace, we are united to Christ in a one flesh union. He in us and we in Him, never to be separated. How blessed are we to know His love, His care, His perfect faithfulness to us. We pray, Father, that knowing that, Thou wilt work in our hearts so that we express our thanks for that, how we live and our relationships here on this earth. In particular, give us grace, Father, who are married, to live faithfully one to another in marriage, to do good to one another, not evil, all the days of our life. Forgive our sins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.